Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thanks for joining with us today, whether you're online or listening on the telephone line. And we pray that you will know God's blessing as we meet together virtually to worship our Lord and Savior. Today, on the second Sunday of Lent, we find ourselves once again in the wilderness, and we're walking through the wilderness with Jesus as we journey towards Easter. And today we find out that it is a simple journey to go with Jesus into the wilderness. As you can probably work out, that means two different things. This is a simple, uncomplicated journey that anyone can go on, but it is also a journey of simplicity. We don't need all the things that this world would tell us that we need if we're going to journey with Jesus through the wilderness towards Easter. The wilderness, as we've been finding out, is a place where we have to leave many of the things that we hold dear behind. And today we're going to think about what it means to worship God when we can't do all the things that we would want to do or we would normally do. If you were with us last week, then you'll remember that wilderness is a place that down through the years, God's people have found themselves in. And although we might immediately think negatively about the wilderness, it's actually a very positive place, a place to meet with God. We saw last week that wilderness is not a sign of God's absence from us. And we saw that we were led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And wilderness is also a place of worship, a place of meeting with God. It's a place of transformation. So this week, we're going to think a little bit more about worshiping God in the wilderness. And we're going to discover that this is a simple journey with Jesus. Remember what the wilderness stands for. Could be any number of circumstances in our lives, perhaps a broken relationship, and all the things that life had been built upon are suddenly stripped away from us whenever that relationship is removed. It may be a friend, it may be a marriage, it can be any sort of relationship that we have. Wilderness could also be a health crisis. We always thought that we were invincible, and now, because of illness, we realize that we're not invincible. And it's as though we've been thrown out into the wilderness, and we're trying to survive without all the normal things that we rely upon. Could be any manner of things. Of course, it could be where we find ourselves at the moment with the coronavirus. It's as though we had to leave in a hurry, leaving everything valuable behind us. And now we're occupying this strange land where we can see our old life in the distance. We know what it was like. We can see it there and we hanker after it. But at the moment, we have to stay here. In this wilderness situation, in this desert situation, we long to get back to where we once were. Many times I've been asked, is the coronavirus a punishment on the world? Has God sent it because we're disobeying him and he wants to punish our evil ways, maybe a bit like he did in the days of Noah with the flood? And that could well be the case. But I think coronavirus is much more God trying to get our attention. He's saying to the world, and he is saying to us, you think that you don't need God as much as you actually do need him. Stop all of this pointless activity and come back to me, God is saying. He says this to the world that has rejected him at every turn. And it's very easy for us today to point the finger at the world and to say, look, you've rejected God, you've turned away from him, you need to come back to him. And that is without doubt the case. But God is also saying the same thing to us who believe in him, to us who are part of his body, the church here on earth. He's saying to us, there's much, too much in your life that isn't me. Stop. Slow down. Simplify. Strip away everything that isn't me and then see what you're left with. We're told that the vaccine is the way out of this pandemic. But I'm convinced that God is the way out. Yes, we can use the vaccine. Yes, we can use all the advances in medical research. Yes, we rely on our NHS. But ultimately, to get out of this mess, we're not relying on that. We're not relying on government releasing the restrictions. We are relying on God to get us out of this. If we don't take time to worship him now while we are in the wilderness, while we're in this desert, then we won't take time to do it whenever we emerge. We have to put things right now so that we are ready to worship God when restrictions are lifted, when we have more freedom, when we have more pressures on our lives. Today we come to worship God in the wilderness. Along with the psalmist in Psalm 63, we say to God, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So let's bow before God in prayer together. Let us pray. We come to you, faithful Father. We come slowing down, taking a deeper breath. Thank you, Lord, that we do not need to earn our way into your presence, but we can come simply through Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. And therefore, at the beginning of this service today, we pause. We acknowledge your presence here with us. We trust you to feed us by your word. Amen. Last week, we began the idea of journeying through the wilderness with Jesus for Lent. We talked about how wilderness worship might look different to other kinds of worship that we've experienced in the past. Some worship, of course, involves singing songs or hymns, maybe using guitars or having a choir or having the organ play. Some worship includes prayers that have many words. Some worship requires lots of technology or people to make it happen. But wilderness worship is simple. It's quite different to all of that. And this week, we're going to look at three aspects of wilderness worship that Jesus engaged in, remembering that this is a simple journey. These are three aspects of worship that we probably don't usually incorporate into a service whenever it's held in this building and people are here. But because you're at home and because this is wilderness worship, we can perhaps think about these things a little bit more today. So I'd encourage you as we think about this simple journey to think about these three things today and ask God to show you how you can incorporate these into your worship at the moment in these times of wilderness. And remember that none of these things are complicated. They are simple as we journey towards Easter. They're simple and they give us an opportunity to worship Jesus in perhaps ways that we haven't done before. So the first thing that we notice about Jesus is this worship is simple in solitude. And this first thing that we notice about Jesus is that he walked away from the crowds and he often spent time alone in solitude. In the passage that we've read together today, he spends 40 days and 40 nights in this lonely place on his own, in solitude, in the deserts, in the wilderness. Luke also tells us of another time in chapter 5 of his gospel when the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Solitude, being on our own, is an important part of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we might have different ideas to that point of solitude. Some of us might be very scared of spending time alone. We've perhaps had enough of it over this past year. We know that we're extroverts, for example, and we enjoy people's company and we feed off the interaction with other people and we need that affirmation of others. And solitude doesn't appeal to us, but it's been forced upon us during these days and it's an important part of our relationship with Jesus. Perhaps there are others today who are thinking, I just love a bit of solitude. I love a bit of peace and quiet. I like being on my own. But maybe even this year has been a bit much for you in that whole process. Henry Newman wrote a book about the Desert Fathers and Mothers. They were a group of Christians in the 4th and 5th century who revived the idea of this desert spirituality. And it was at a time when the church was becoming increasingly institutionalized. Everything had to be done in the building together. And so these early Christians, desert fathers and mothers, decided that they would explore what it was to be alone in solitude with God, to go into the wilderness and spend time with God. And Newman warns us against seeing solitude as simply a quiet place where we recharge our batteries and then we get on with life as usual. He writes the following, and I suppose he's trying to say to us, don't just use solitude as a break and then go back to the way things were. Use solitude as a time to change so that whenever you go back, things are different. Solitude is not a private therapeutic place, he writes. Rather, it is the place of conversion, a place where the old self dies and the new self is born. In solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding. No friends to talk with, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, no music to entertain, no books to distract. We enter into solitude, first of all, to meet our Lord and to be with Him and Him alone. The main reason Jesus sought solitude was to be with his heavenly Father. And we've got this unique opportunity in our lifetimes to slow down, to be quiet, to get rid of the distractions, to take away the scaffolding that our life is normally built upon, and to come into God's presence. Not a time just to recharge our batteries and get back to what we did once before with new energy, but to meet with God and to seek what He wants us to do so that whenever we come out of the wilderness, whenever we come out of this period of lockdown, whenever things change in our lives, we're ready to serve Him more. I think the biggest disaster of this lockdown would be to come out of it and just go back to the way things were. Things have changed. Attitudes have changed. Hopefully, our relationship with God has changed. And we don't want to go back to the busyness and the pressure and the multitude of things, but we want to have more of God and we want to spend more with Him. We've got this unique opportunity, so don't waste it. This is a time to wait upon God. No one else will see this waiting. It's done in secret. But this is a time for worship, and it's a time for transformation. The solitude of being alone with God and getting to know Him. Second thing that we notice about Jesus is how He rejects unnecessary baggage. Part of His worship was simplicity. And we've been saying throughout today that this is a simple journey. It's easy to go with Jesus into the wilderness, but it also means that this journey should be simplistic. There shouldn't be too many things holding us back or distracting us in this whole process. In Luke chapter 4 that Laura read for us earlier, we read, "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to.'" But Jesus wants simplicity. It may have been nice to hear that he could have all these things, but that wasn't what he was about. And Jesus knows that it is very easy for us to gain the world and yet lose our soul. That's what he said in Luke chapter 9. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?" Simplicity is the key. We can gain so much in this world and yet lose our souls. We can fill our lives with so many things that we lose sight of God and He gets pushed out. We have this opportunity for simplicity to meet with God and to be with Him. So in the wilderness, after the 40 days of fasting, Jesus rebukes Satan. How many of the advertisements that surround us every day are about gaining the world? How many of them are about our relationship with Jesus? None. Everything is about gaining the world, having more and more. And even in lockdown, it's about more and more and more. Achieving authority and splendor. We're tempted all the time to be buying more, of having more. And all these things complicate our lives. And little by little lead us away from God. The things are not bad. Of course they're not bad. But it's the amount of them that causes the problems and pushes Jesus out of our lives. Think about Jesus. He didn't have a home. He just roamed about and lived with others. Luke chapter 9, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." His only possession seemed to have been the one set of clothes whenever he was crucified. In John 19, we're told when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Whenever Jesus sends out the 72 to minister in Luke chapter 10, he tells them, "Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Now, it's not wrong for us to have homes or clothes and other possessions, but Jesus' example should cause us to question what we do have and how much importance we place upon it, whether we need quite as many things as the adverts tell us we do. Are these things getting in the way of Jesus in our lives, or are they helping us bring Jesus into our lives? Wilderness worship might ask us to consider whether we rely too much on things, even though they're good things, instead of trusting in God. Wilderness worship might cause us to ask if we rely on other people more than we should. Do we rely on other people more than we rely upon God? This is a simple journey requiring simplicity. We don't need the latest book or music. We need time with God. The wilderness provides us with time for God as long as we choose to use it. Imagine if we get to the end of lockdown and we're released and we have all the freedoms that we once had, and we look back over our time in lockdown and we realize that we've squandered it and we haven't taken the opportunity to spend it with God. We still have time. We still have a few months left. Let's go into the wilderness with the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. Let's seek simplicity in our relationship with Jesus, and let's worship him in this wilderness experience. Then we move on to the third part of worship in the wilderness. Leads us on to the most obvious thing about Jesus' time in the wilderness, but perhaps the one that we talk about the least. Fasting. Jesus fasted from food for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And the first temptation attacks this directly. Verse 3 of Luke. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Now notice that the devil doesn't say, "You must be hungry," even though he knows that Jesus is feeling the effects of these 40 days fast. He goes to the real heart of the matter. If you are the Son of God. He questions Jesus' identity and who he is. And fasting is not about showing people how spiritual we are or guilting God into answering our prayers by saying, "Well, look at me, God, I'm fasting. If I can do that, then surely you can help me out here and do what I want." It comes down to the basis of our identity. Who are we? Or perhaps more importantly, whose are we? Are we trusting in God? This week in the blog, we were thinking about how this journey of Lent is to be done secretly. It's to be done in the quiet place. And Jesus himself tells us that when we're fasting, we're not to go around telling everyone we're fasting. We're to dress as normal, we're to act as normal, so that nobody else knows what we're doing, that it is a quiet thing with God. And perhaps that's why we don't talk about it a lot, because we've been warned not to talk about it. But in not talking about it, perhaps it's something that we don't ever consider, that we don't ever do. It reminds us that more than food, our lives are sustained by the Lord God Almighty. Everything in our lives holds together because of Jesus Christ, not because of anything physical that we have. We're reminded in Colossians that everything came about because of Jesus. All things hold together in him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So Jesus responds to Satan using the words from Deuteronomy 8 that we were thinking about last Sunday together. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, literal fasting from food, was part of early church worship. We read about it in Matthew 9, where Jesus is questioned about fasting. And he's asked, "Why aren't his disciples fasting?" And Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast." And in Acts 13, 18, we read about fasting that was taking place. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." They heard God's clear leading because of the fasting and because of the worshiping. And Lent is always seen as a time of replicating these 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness, in that we give up something for the period of Lent. And traditionally, Lent involves giving up some food. That's why the rich food was used on Shrove Tuesday to make the pancakes, so that it was gone, so that the temptation was removed during those 40 days. But there are also other ways of fasting. There are other fasts that we can do, because if we're simply giving up food to make a show, then it defeats the whole purpose of fasting. Isaiah 58 and verse 6 and following talks about a fast where people choose to put justice right. This is what we read in Isaiah. "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." This shows us what fasting is all about. It is about doing what is right. It is about seeking God and answering His call and obeying Him. Perhaps the question is, what would be the thing that we rely on most? And then that is the thing that we should give up at this time. Where are we in danger of getting our identity from other than God? And that's the thing that we should fast from over this time. You see, sometimes at this stage of the year in Lent, some people fasting from social media. You see the posts going up on Facebook or on Twitter to say, "That's it, I'll see you after Easter. I'm not going to do anything else here." And that's for people that are saying, "Well, I think I'm too tied to this. I need to take a break. I need to refocus on God and use the time wisely." So we need to fast before God, fasting in a positive way as well as a negative way, like in Isaiah, taking up a cause and looking for it, or giving up to deny ourselves. The paradox of our time and history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts but more problems, more medicine but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get angry too quickly, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too seldom, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've split the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We have higher incomes, but lower morals. We have more food, but less appeasement. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but have less communication. We've become long on quantity, but short on quality. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion, tall men and short character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the times of world peace but domestic warfare, more leisure but less fun, more kinds of food but less nutrition. These are days of two incomes but more divorce, of fancier houses but broken homes. These are days of quick trips, disposable nappies, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet, to kill. It is a time when there is much in the show window and nothing in the stockroom. We need a simple journey. We need a journey of simplicity. We're going to conclude our service today with a song from Matt Redman that we often sing whenever we're together. It's called The Heart of Worship. And it's where we strip everything away, and yet we come to God to worship Him. But we don't just strip away all the trappings of worship and bring God a song. Matt sings that we bring Him more than a song. We bring Him our very lives. And we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our worship to God Almighty.
And now Nick McCaw is going to read from Psalm 61.
Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then will I sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Amen.
Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Let's come to God in prayer. Once again, we're going to bring our prayers for others. And as we do so, we're going to do two things. We're going to remember others who are in need and pray for them at this time, and especially the COVID-19 pandemic. But I also want to give thanks for the offering. It's very strange not having a physical offering to give thanks for today. But I know that many of you are giving, and that is such a blessing. And we really do appreciate every contribution that you make. And I want to thank you for being so faithful right throughout last year and for continuing to be faithful in giving to the Lord at this time. So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we give you thanks for this offering. Although it is not physically here in front of us, we give thanks to you, Lord, for all that has been given. And we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified, that your name would be honored, and that you would be lifted on high. Lord God, we thank you for the faithful members of this congregation. We thank you for many others who have contributed as well because of our online services. And Lord, we worship you and praise you for this. Today, Lord, we want to remember the members of our church and those who are associated with our church. It's been such a long time since we've been able to welcome visitors into our worship services. And Lord, that's such an important thing for us to do, that those who come along through holidays and through visits to Port Stewart feel as though they can come here and worship you. And Lord, although we aren't able to meet physically, we do thank you that we still have this connection through your Holy Spirit. And today we pray for your blessing. We pray, Lord, for those members of our church community who are not able to get out and about at the moment because of the pandemic. And we pray that you would be near to them. We pray, Lord, for those who are cut off from family and friends and are isolating. And we ask that you would be near to them. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling at this time because of other illnesses. And we pray that you would help them. And Lord, we give you thanks that you are the God who knows every detail about us and that you are always with us. And therefore, Lord, we trust you this day. Lord, we do pray that you would continue to help us throughout this time. And we give you thanks, Lord, for the encouraging signs that we have seen this week with the announcements from government about the relaxation of restrictions. And Lord, as all of this happens, we pray that our nation, our community would turn to you and find hope in you. We thank you, Lord, for all those who are making these decisions and pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would help them, Lord, with these difficult choices. And we pray that the community would obey and listen and fulfill all that's being asked of them. Lord, we thank you once again for the NHS staff, GPs, those who work in hospitals, who are working hard. We thank you, Lord, for their commitment, and we pray that you would bless them. We thank you for the vaccine rollout, and we thank you that so many have received that first dose, and we pray that it would be rolled out right throughout the community. And Lord, we pray that in all that we do, we would honor you, and we would glorify your name. Lord, today we also want to remember Malawi and Myanmar, as Terry was telling us about them last week. We pray for Malawi, and we pray for the global mission workers from our church who continue to serve there. We pray for local Christians and for churches there, and ask that you would help them and protect them, Lord, in these difficult days. We pray also for Myanmar, and we pray, Lord, that in the midst of this military coup, that order would be restored, that democratic government would be restored. And again, Lord, we pray for your people and your church in that land, that they would have a witness for you. So, Lord, today we come to you with our prayers, and we lay them now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Eileen is now going to play a medley of three pieces that help us in the wilderness. In times like these, we need a Saviour. I know who holds the future, and yesterday, today, forever.
I pray this blessing for each one of you at the end of the service today. Let us pray. God, as we go from this place, make us a people who are content in all circumstances, in crowds or alone, with much or with little, well-fed or hungry. May your presence, your provision, and your bread of life be enough for us. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.